The reading is taken from Luke 5, verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
So we've been doing a series since July and August 2024 on the spiritual gifts. God gives us gifts that are spiritual, and the idea of these gifts is to help others see Christ, to help others experience the miraculous God that we serve. We learn that God speaks through the Bible. We learn that God speaks through dreams. He speaks through visions. He speaks through pictures. He speaks through words. He speaks through people. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I'm in the garden and the Lord is speaking to me through the things that I am working on in the garden. And he does this because he wants to encourage us. He wants to give us words about our future, which is prophecy. He wants to teach us and give us wisdom. And in our series that we've been doing for quite a while, we have looked at the gifts of communication. And these are encouragement. These are prophecy, giving words of knowledge. They are teaching, speaking in special tongues that the Lord gives to praise him and worship him. They are wisdom, shepherding, apostle, which is going out ahead of others, seeing what the future can be, intercession and evangelism. And the serving gifts are administration, discerning of spirits, faith, giving, hospitality, helps, leadership, mercy, craftsmanship, creative communication. And then in November at our church meeting, we said, okay, it would be really good because God gives everybody gifts. And they're spiritual gifts, so they're empowered by him. It would be great if everyone can discover what their gifts are. We start practice using them in our home groups. And then having practice using them, we welcome and encourage them throughout our daily lives. And in February, I set you the challenge because we actually did the gift of healing. And you've just heard literally under 2 weeks to get out of hospital and walk home. Isn't that incredible? That is a gift of healing. And what I was encouraging everybody to think about is, are you expecting these kind of things in your everyday lives? That was Jesus's life. That was the apostles' lives. And to be honest with you, on occasions, it's been my life that every day I have seen healing and miracles take place. But praying for healing requires us to have such a heart of compassion and of humility. It means that we need to have that courage to get over our embarrassment and say, "Let me just pray for healing for you." And it's not up to us because we're not the healer. It's God who's the God of miracles. It's God who's the God of healing. And so we will be finishing off literally our series, and this is the verse that it comes from, 1 Corinthians 12:7-9. It says, "Now, right now, to each one, the manifestation," in other words, the reality of the Spirit, "is given for the common good." If we don't use the gifts we've got, We are not helping, we are not providing the goodness we can in this world. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of that tongue. All these are work of the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, everyone, just as he determines. Miraculous powers, as in healing powers, is who our God is and what he wants to distribute through his church so that people can encounter the kind of miracles and healing that we have just heard about. There's a guy called Peter Wagner who's done a lot of research on healings, and his definition is that miracles are the special ability that God gives to serve as human intermediaries, to perform powerful acts that, perceived by observers, alter the ordinary course of nature. It's something that happens that you pray for or speak out, and it is not the norm that happens as a result of that. This is the God we serve. And you know what? We are made in his image. He's created you. And those of us who've received that power of the new resurrection that we talked about last Sunday, the point of Easter, those of us with that power inside of us have that ability to pray and see miracles take place. I don't know about, but if you've read the Bible, and I know some of you are doing the Bible in a year, you can't tell me as you turn over those pages, there's a miracle. Oh, there's another miracle. Oh, there's another miracle. The Bible is just full of miracles. Miracles are meant to be just part of our everyday lives. I'm not saying they happen every day, but I'm saying they're just part of our everyday lives. There are different types of miracles. I mean, I've seen provision miracles. Times when, you know, the exact amount of money, I think I've told you before, when I worked in Nepal, and they didn't have enough money to pay the ladies who'd been trafficked and who were now making jewelry. They didn't have enough money in their tin at the beginning of the day. And my friend Glenda, who is running that business, was just praying all day. It's called Beauty for Ashes. And she was just like, Lord, what am I going to do? I literally have no money. And I know they live hand to mouth. And at the end of the day, she opened up her tin, and it had over $1,000 in it. She's like, you could have done it in Nepali rupees, but thank you for the dollars that just miraculously appeared in there. That miraculous provision. And I'm sure you've had that in your lives. The idea of instant healing, I've told you before, when I was in India, and this girl came along, 16-year-old, she was playing the keyboard for us, absolutely brilliant, but she couldn't go beyond the level that she was at because as a child, she'd lost the top bit of her little finger. And as we were just praying and God turned up in the service that we were doing, there was a little girl this high, and her name was Miracles. I mean, what a name for this little Indian girl. And she's like, I'm going to pray for you, Grace. That was the name of the girl who was a pianist. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray that you get your little finger back. And as Miracles prayed for her, the finger regrew. I mean, I don't have a platform for that still. Do you know what I mean? I'm just watching that God can do these instant healings. That's the God that we serve. And then the miracles of creation. I mean, sometimes it's the weather or something that the Lord moves in. And I think I've told you before, again, in Nepal, there was a time when the previous king had been murdered. The new king, he was not very nice. And people got fed up in the end. And they have a palace. It's not as grand as Buckingham Palace, but they have a big road, you know, wide road leading down to it. So if you kind of imagine a slightly smaller version than Buckingham Palace and the Mall going down. And there were hundreds of thousands of Nepalis just marching on the palace because they had enough. And facing them was the army with rifles and machine guns. They had nothing. They were just marching because they were saying, we've had enough. And I don't know about you. I mean, if you know history, we were thinking this is going to be another Tiananmen Square. This is going to be another massacre. And a text went out We did have Wi-Fi in Nepal. We may not have had electricity, but we had Wi-Fi. And a text went out to everybody. And it was like, pray, pray, pray. And we could see them on, you know, on the news. We could see it, the helicopters going around ready to shoot as well. It's shoot to kill when people are out and they shouldn't be. We could see them just hovering and the cameras just showing us what was going on. And the Christians just got on their knees and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And just as they were about 200 meters away, it poured with rain. I mean, heavy rain. We were in the dry season. If you've ever been in a country where it's just you get wet in dry seasons, you don't get rain in the dry season. You put away your jacket and you don't have to wear it for 6 months. It's wonderful. I'm like here. It poured with rain. It was so heavy that not only did the crowd disperse because it was hurting them, the rain, but also it was too, you know, it hurt the soldiers, so they dispersed too. To me, that's a miracle. That God using nature to actually create a miracle to happen. And I don't know about you, but divine appointments to me are miracles of all the people in all the places to meet. You know, and I've had so many of them. I actually believe, Sully, it was a divine appointment that day. I wandered out of my house and I bumped into you. And that you were like, I never normally invite people into my home. But come in, he said. Do you know what I mean? And it was just that to me was a divine appointment because I know that you've been searching for something. And that, and then again, divine appointment the other day meeting up outside the shop. God has divine appointments for us. It's miracles, isn't it? There's no other way of saying that. And you know, Jesus actually said, he said, very truly or truly, truly. In other words, remember, they don't have bold or underlines. Repetition is the way that he says, hey, guys, listen to this. He says, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. I don't know about you. When was the last time you prayed for something miraculous to happen? And I think this whole story that we've just been looking at about putting out into the deep from Luke 5 is a miracle. These are wise fishermen. They know exactly where to fish. They know exactly how to catch fish. And quite often they caught nothing. But Jesus is like, hey, pop over there. I know where the fish are. How? How? Because we have a God of miracles who can say these things. And so I just want to share from my heart, this was something that the Lord spoke to me from this passage when I took a couple of days out after my, you know, in the retreat after my 60th birthday weekend. And I was just like, Lord, this is the message that you not only had for me, but I think it's for us at this time. And I'd like us as a church to be looking at Luke 5, 1 to 11, individually and in home groups. I do look at Facebook, you know, confessions here. I have to limit it to half an hour a day. But what I saw on Facebook from the Baptist churches was more baptisms than I've ever seen on Easter Sunday. In other words, people have said, I believe in Jesus. Young people are coming in their droves saying, I'm fed up with what the world seems to offer as an answer. I've given up on that. I am coming into right relationship with God. I want what he offers. Because not only does it do me good, but it does the world good as well. There is a shift in God's spirit. There's a shift that people are just literally turning up at church and saying, I want what I see you have. In other words, like this story, there are crowds ready to hear what Jesus has to say. But Jesus, to enable him for all the crowds to hear, he needed Simon Peter to say yes. You can use my boat. You can use the resource I have. You can come in my boat, even though it might be embarrassing to have Jesus in your boat because there were a lot of people who did not like Jesus, who hated Jesus, particularly the religious leaders. But he says, you can come in to my boat and you can use my boat to share with others. I wonder what resources do you have at your disposal to welcome Jesus to use? What about your voice, your time, your money, your home, your car, your work situation? Are you willing to invite Jesus into each one of these so that people can hear what Jesus has to say, so that as you do stuff, they can see what Jesus is like. It can be as simple as giving someone a lift, and as you give them a lift, sharing whatever the Lord gives you through the Holy Spirit. Are you willing, like Simon was, like Jesus says, put out into the deep, and he's sort of thinking, I mean, he did argue with Jesus. I like Simon, Peter. Do you know what I mean? There's times when I do argue with Jesus. Do you know what I mean? He's like, put out into the deep. He's like, yeah, we've done that. You know, we've been there. You know, been there, done it. And also, you're not a fisherman. You're a rabbi. You're a teacher. You know, what do you know about the Lake Galilee? But still, Simon Peter says, no, I will go out there. Even though it's not my normal pattern of life, even if it goes against what I think is the right thing to do at this moment in time. And we know, because when we had the Lent series of all the different people, you know, coming together from the churches, we know that one of the strong messages that came across from those Wednesday nights was, he's asking the Christians in Pulborough to go out of your comfort zone. It's not a message we wanted to hear, but it was loud and clear. It's time to move out of your comfort zone. It's time to obey what the Lord says and shift out of your comfort zone. Push out into the deep and expect miracles as you pray. See, Simon Peter was willing to obey what Jesus asked him to do, even though it made no sense to him. He complained, he questioned, but he still did that. And it's really interesting later in the passage when you study it, you realize he confesses that sin. He says, I'm really sorry, Lord, that I even complained and questioned. Simon Peter was willing to say, here's my resources, here's my workplace, you're welcome to use it. He was willing for his day to be interrupted. It cost Simon Peter his time, his ability to work. It cost him his income source. It cost him embarrassment, but he was willing to go beyond where he usually would go. He was willing, too, to let down his nets. He wanted to let down his nets. And we know later on the story isn't really about fish, it's about people. And I wonder, are you willing to let down equivalent of your nets, let down, you know, what you do and what you say so that people can be caught, can be hear what God has to say to them, what God has in terms of an encounter with him? Are we willing to let down our nets where Jesus asks us to, whether that's casting our net over our neighbors, our friends, our family, our work colleagues, our strangers that we meet, casting our nets through daily prayer? I'm still struggling with this. I've got a list of 50 people I counted the other day at the back of my diary that I'm praying for because I want them to encounter God because he's so good. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's so peaceful. He's a God of healing and miracles. I want people to encounter him. But do I pray for those 50 every day? Do I pray for 5 every day? I'm really trying. But that's the point of thy kingdom come. That's the point of having the little stickers to remind us who has God got on your heart at this moment in time, and pray for those 5 people and then do what he asks you to do. Are you willing to cast your net? See, in this passage, there are so many fish ready to be caught. If you put it another way, the harvest is ripe. If you came to our prayer and fasting day, you realize that God's saying, hey, there's people out there ready. And another image that the Lord gave us is that there's shoots that are green. They're not quite ripe for harvest, but we are getting to the point where they will be ready for harvest soon. And so to me, this first part of the passage was really exciting. Hey, there's fish in the sea. You know, yeah, Jesus, get in my boat. That's great. Yeah, I'm going to cast my nets. Here we go. But then I read the last bit of the passage, and if I'm really honest with you, I was frightened. I was scared with what the story shares. I was fearful. And I thought, thank you, Lord, for highlighting these fears to me, because I can then let you deal with them so I don't end up operating out of fear, but I operate out of love. So as I said, I'm happy to invite Jesus into my boat. I'm happy to talk about him, happy to cast out the nets. But did you see the end of the story, what happened? The nets began to break. Well, that's not good news as far as I'm concerned. Do you know what I mean? Like the nets are breaking, right? And the boats are sinking. I'm like, I don't want to experience. I mean, I think that's scary. I think, you know, this is my net. This is my work. And the boats are about to sink. I'm like, why'd you put this in the story, Lord? But it's there, isn't it? It's there because they're probably fears. Do you know what I mean? That what, you know, maybe it'll break our nets. Maybe the amount of fish that God has for us to catch at the moment is too many. But Simon Peter had friends he could call on, he could partner with, and it says he called his partners over to help. And even though their boats were sinking and their nets were breaking too, they still managed to do the catch. But I was fearful. Who are our partners at this time? Simon Peter had people ready to partner with. Who are we ready to partner with? Who can we call in to help us with this huge catch that God has for us? What fears do you have about miracles happening in your everyday life? What fears do you have about praying for miracles? What fears do you have about putting out into the deep and stepping out of your comfort zone? What fears do you have about casting your nets out over people and fishing for them? And how do you deal with your fears when they come up? That's for you to discuss this week and in your home groups, because I really want us to figure out what am I fearful of, because there must be what's blocking me from praying for miracles every day. What's blocking me from casting my nets everywhere I go? There's something that's blocking us. What is it, Lord? Show it to us and then show us how we can overcome that. Do you know, as I brought my fears to God, he reminded me that in this passage, because there's other passages where, aren't there, when Jesus on the shore says, cast your nets over to the other side. But in this passage, Jesus is in the boat with Simon Peter. He's with him, right there by his side. And he also reminded me about the passage in Matthew 28 when Jesus is saying, you know, he's risen from the dead and he says, I've got to go because the Spirit's going to do amazing stuff in and through you. And he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of this age. That's how my fears were laid. It's like, it's okay, Jesus is with me. The God of miracles, my goodness me. You know, who else do I need with me? He's there. He's right there with me. He's with me at every stage of casting out my nets, trusting him for what I have to do and say that he's asking me to. And I love the fact that he says to Simon Peter, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just as Simon Peter trusted Jesus, I can too. I can bring my fears to him and say, I can trust you, Jesus. I do not need to fear what God has in store for us. As we go out into the deep, it's going to be okay. Because although the boats might have sunk, they didn't. And although the nets began to break, they didn't. Yeah? We do not need to fear that our ministry and our everyday lives. We do not need to fear that idea of casting our nets. We do not need to fear that we can ask God for miracles. So I'm going to conclude. And it's a simple, brief conclusion. I believe that individually and in home groups, we are to take time to hear what Jesus has to say to us personally and to the church as a whole about casting our nets out. Who can we partner with? Who can help us haul in the harvest that is white, the fish that are ready to say, yes, I want what you have. I don't understand it fully yet, but I want to hear more. I want what you have. And so that's what your home groups are going to do this week. I'm going to ask you individuals to look at Luke 5 and answer the questions that I've posed. I'll send it out to everybody this week, the sermon notes. And my prayer is that you'll write down what the Lord's speaking to you, and we can share that at our next church meeting, which is on Wednesday, the 18th of June. It's a great picture, isn't it? A great image that you can see on the screen. That's what God has for us. He says there's people out there hungry to know more about Jesus. Are we willing to share? Are we willing to let God use our resources to do that? I know that everybody in this room has encountered the presence of God this morning. I know that everybody in this room recognizes that there's a God. They may not know him personally or deeply yet, but this is your opportunity. You may think, oh, I've drifted away a bit at the moment. I want to come back into a right relationship with him. I want to say yes to be obedient. I want to say yes to use my resources. I want to say yes. And so we're just going to spend a few moments in quiet. What's your response to what God's been saying this morning? Let's have a moment of quiet. Lord, I thank you that it's just so easy to talk to you. We don't even have to close our eyes, but we tend to stop distractions. But Lord, you're here. I can see you moving amongst people. I can see you standing in front of people. Just holding out your hand saying, come. Come and encounter what it's like to be free from sin and guilt, free from the past. Come and encounter what I can do to heal the past hurts, heal the past traumas. I am the God of miracles. I am a safe God because I am always love. I am a safe God because there is no sin in me. I can see some that he just wants to give you a hug this morning and tell you he's got you and it's going to be okay. And if this is the first time this morning you thought, yeah, I want to be in that relationship with Jesus, I just want to talk to him, then do. And he will talk back. Thank you, Lord, that you welcome everybody, everybody into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.